I'm a traveling man, and I say, bubble up, up, da, da. Adventures of a Traveling Man, Episode 1, Dubai. Dubai is such a great place to visit, but you know, being such a new city, only really 100 years in its present form, old, recognisable buildings are not really its forte. New, big, brash, lavish, and well, downright over-the-top buildings are more its thing. None fits that bill more than the Burj Al Arab Hotel, or in Arabic, Tower of the Arabs. You must know the one, shaped like a sail, the only 7-star hotel in the world, tallest hotel in the world, sits on its own island, and in fact, at over 1,000 feet, it's taller than the Eiffel Tower. This was the most obvious choice of location in Dubai to film a section of the Travelling Man video. The hotel's design and construction was so expensive that it's thought that to break even, it must be entirely booked for over 400 years. Well, I suppose if you build a hotel for $1.5 billion, you don't do it to make a profit, do you? One of its restaurants, the Al Mahara, or the Oyster in Arabic, is accessed via a simulated submarine voyage. It features a large seawater aquarium holding over 1 million litres of water. The tank, made of plexiglass in order to reduce the magnification effect, is about 18 centimetres or 7.5 inches thick. Okay, so now you're impressed and you want to book a room. Forget it, unless you think $1,000 a night is good value for money. And that's the cheapest room. The most expensive suites can cost over $15,000 a night. So enough of the advertising and promotion for the hotel, on with the show. With location one chosen, what about another one? What else? How about another tall building? Okay, well that'll be the Emirates Towers then. You may know the buildings, they look like two space rockets that have been designed by a 12-year-old budding astronaut on the back of a cornflakes packet. The Emirates Towers complex contains the Emirates Office Tower and the Emirates Towers Hotel. Respectively, they are the 12th and 24th tallest buildings in the world. So, that's two locations. And now for something completely different. Enough of buildings. We need some sand. Sand and more sand. And lots of it. A desert, maybe. Now, that's something Dubai can definitely do. It is surrounded by it. So there we go. Three locations. Sorted. Now to do some filming. The day of the shoot was really, really hot. In fact, it was as hot as a Zulu's codpiece. And carting around a guitar case, tripods, camera gear was not going to be easy. Luckily for me, I was travelling with a couple of willing victims. Assistants. So with the promise of free beers and dancing girls, I had a small crew in my hands. The Burj Al Arab Hotel, being on its own island, is not really that easy to get close to. Getting along the causeway is impossible unless you have a hotel booking or meeting a guest. So a different tack was needed. The hotel next door is called the Jumeirah Beach Hotel and is also very opulent. It has its own harbour and a spit going out into the sea with a restaurant at the end. This is perfect for getting an uninterrupted view of the hotel, but how to get down there? My willing victim, official stills cameraman, John, the still, always has the charm to convince anyone to put their hands in a fire for fun. Talking to the security guard, and before you can say bribery makes the world go round, we were off walking along the harbour wall with guitars, tripods, cameras, and of course, smug grins. A problem we soon encountered, well, apart from the intense sun that made me look like I had a mirror on my head, was the fact that the hotel is very, very tall, and how can we get me and the hotel in the shot at the same time? Along the harbour wall walkway was another slightly higher wall that held back most of the large boulders that were used as the breakwater. By me standing on this, and Larry the lens, my other willing victim, being on the floor, we could just about get the shot we wanted. So on with the show. iPod and speakers out, playback, camera, action, perfect. Well, sort of. I couldn't remember the lyrics. So a quick brain rewire was required, and we were off. Recording, takes, nothing could stop us now. Well, apart from halfway through the first take, some very burly security guards came walking briskly along the spit from the hotel. Here we go. Arrested, strip searched and deported. I told Larry the lens just to keep filming. They marched up with tremendous purpose and then just stopped. So we just carried on filming and they just carried on watching. A total impasse ensued. I look back now and think they must have thought only mad dogs and Englishmen would go out in the midday sun and stand on a harbour wall and play a guitar. Well, we must have been mad dogs as John the Still was Welsh. So we carried on filming, finished all our takes, about four, and some cutaways, and then started to pack up. Only then did the security guards approach. The taller of the two reached behind his back and, to what I would assume, was going to bring out some handcuffs or at least rubber gloves, but in fact he brought out a pen and paper. He only wanted my autograph. That's a laugh. Mohammed was a musician, and he played the oud, a Middle Eastern stringed instrument, and assumed that I, being a Western guitar player, must of course be Eric Clapton. So with big smiles, pidgin English, and a quick scrawl of a signature, we were off. Free again to live another day. Well, afternoon anyway. The funny thing about walking around in unusual places with a guitar case and looking, well, totally out of place, is the looks you get from other people. As we walked through the pool area and back to the hotel entrance, I got a few of those priceless looks. One in particular was from a woman who looked up from the slumber of her sun lounger and tapped her husband next to her and mouthed, "Let's go, the entertainment has arrived." I didn't bother to look round to see her reaction as we walked straight past the small stage and on into the hotel.
Off to another location now. This is off to Emirates Towers. We left the Burj on the Jumeirah Beach. So we'll see what this location will bring us. It's hot. You can turn it off now.
He's managing that.
And so on to location two, the Emirates Towers. This was only a 15-minute cab ride away, but in Dubai that can mean anything. The weather was so hot and this cab didn't have any air conditioning, so it seemed like an eternity. We arrived at the towers and there was a square area in front of the main entrance to the complex. Again, camera placement was a problem with such tall buildings, so we decided an up-the-nose shot was the only way to go. So again, iPod, speakers, camera, action. Will I ever remember the lyrics?
Yeah, rolling, yeah, good.
Two takes in the bag and it's off for a well-earned drink. Well, after all, it was 38 degrees outside. So, question. How do you get out into the desert with an artist, two crew, equipment, and a guitar? Camel? Well, no. One of Dubai's growth tourism areas is what is called dune bashing, or basically taking a 4x4 Jeep out into the desert and driving it to the edge of suspension, nerve and bowel control. We booked a trip and at 9 a.m. we were picked up from the hotel. The driver was very perplexed by all the equipment, especially the guitar, but like the security guard at the Burj Al Arab Hotel, probably thought we were just mad dogs. We drove for about 45 minutes until the last watering hole where all the usual tourist stores are. And again, the temperature was unbearable, so we stocked up with some drinks. The driver let down the tyres to about half the pressure to give more grip on the sand. As we were soon to find out, when you're past 45 degrees in a Jeep, then this is definitely a good thing. We set up at breakneck speed in a 10-car convoy, and then we're really in the desert with very high dunes all around. My plan, well, if I had one, was at the halfway stop to quickly get all the gear out and play hopefully at least one take. Before that, we had to drive for another 35 minutes, which meant being thrown around like a kid's toy.
Oh. I think that I do to be a rock star.
Yes. Wow.
One word of warning before you decide to go and do one of these trips is don't go on a full bladder like I did.
Word of warning for next time, don't do this on the full bladder.
So like a well-tuned Formula One team, we all set up and I walked hurriedly off into the desert with my guitar. This, as you can imagine, caused a lot of interest from all the other travellers in the convoy. Bemused looks, scared children and, of course, a few laughs. Anyway, there I was, guitar in hand, ready to play, and from nowhere a group of quad bikers smashed the silence as they roared over the dunes behind me. At first I wasn't sure whether they could see me, and I had visions of them flying over the dune and landing on top of me. With a guitar in hand and trainers full of sand, I was going nowhere fast. This obviously caused great amusement to the already growing crowd of onlookers from the convoy. That's when I came face to face with my quad biker. He looked me in the eyes, I looked him in the eyes, and he just drove straight at me. Faster and faster, closer and closer. I just closed my eyes and he drove straight by me.
That was hilarious.
Anyway, I lived to tell the tale. My trousers didn't, but it just shows you should never close your eyes when you're playing a guitar in the desert. I don't know what that really means, but I lived to tell the tale and on to the next destination. But where will that be? See you soon. Bubbly up, up, da-da-da, bubbly up, up, up.